Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying The Road to the Cross, Bible Bits from Mark. In this session, we'll be looking at Mark chapter 12, verses 41 to 44. Jesus audits our gifts. A little background on this narrative of Jesus in the temple watching the people give their offerings as they enter. A little background on that narrative before we read it and look into it. What do you suppose was on Jesus' mind at that moment when he was sitting there watching the people placing their gifts? In this story that this woman with very little came in as well to offer her gift. Well, we can know by looking at the verses leading up to our text. Mark chapter 11, verse 27, all the way to chapter 12, verse 40, right up to our text. They include seven stressful encounters for Jesus. Jesus' authority was challenged. They talked about John's baptism. The rejection of Israel, in the parable of the wicked tenants, the payment of taxes with the Roman coin, the marriage at the resurrection and scriptural error, the greatest commandment, the Shema, who is David's son, the Lord, the evil acts of the scribes, the abuse of widows. So when the storm of that conflict was passed, Jesus went into the temple and he was sitting there watching the offerings. And what did Jesus observe? How did he respond to what he saw? This is an amazing record of the correct attitude displayed. Let's consider that. Let's consider three things about this event. First, consider where Jesus sat. Look at Mark chapter 12, verse 41. Now, Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. And many who were rich put in much opposite the treasury. Where was that place? Well, it was in the temple area. There were, when you're looking at the temple, there were walls which enclosed the temple area. And then there were porticos inside the walls. And then next was the court of the Gentiles around the temple. Then the court of the women and the court of the priests, also known as the outer court. Next was the holy place. And then finally, the Holy of Holies. Of all that structure, today only the Western Wall remains, which referred to as the Wailing Wall, referring to the mourning of the loss of the temple. The treasury was in the court of the women. According to historian Alfred Edersheim, it had 13 trumpet-shaped receptacles used for collecting the temple tax and other offerings. There were these 13. They were labeled. There were new shekel dues. There were old shekel dues. You know, are you behind in your giving? Are you robbing God? There were burnt offerings, which was a sin offering. You know, Mary and Luke, in Luke chapter 2, verse 24. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. There was, you know, it could be young birds that were given, wood to burn on the altar, frankincense for the golden altar, gold for ministry, vessels and utensils, and then six free will offering receptacles in addition to those other seven. This pictures the tithes and the offerings of today's local church ministry. The place was the location of Jesus' confrontation with the religious leaders, which began with the woman caught in adultery and ended with a heated debate over Abraham's true descendants. John chapter 8, you can read about all that, especially in verse 20. These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. Many of the Jews had these trumpet-shaped alms boxes, which were like these receptacles, these little trumpet-shaped alms boxes in which they carried their offering to the treasury of the temple. In fact, Jesus may have been using irony when he warned them, "Do not sound a trumpet before you when giving alms." Some wanted to show off to the people, and they carried their alms boxes openly for everyone to see as they walked on their way to the temple. So pay attention to where Jesus was sitting and what he was seeing. And then second, consider what Jesus saw. Verse 42, "Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites," which make a quadrants. One poor widow came and threw in two mites. Literally, it's two lepta, which is the smallest coin in circulation. It's equal to about 1/64th of a denarius, which was a day's wages. It was equal to less than our American penny. Jesus saw many who were rich throw in much, and the widow essentially put in a penny. He watched their giving, and he watches our giving, examining the attitudes, whether we give liberally or sparingly, whether we give willingly or grudgingly. The Lord watches the gifts and he judges them for sacrifice. And then third, consider what Jesus said, verses 43 and 44. "So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, 'Assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury, for they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood.'" What is the issue here? Well, the extent to which the gift is sacrificial. Not how much is given, but how much is left. God judges the true priorities that we have, whether we do it for him or so that others will approve of it. Many who were rich put in much. This is good to see because many rich are stingy when it comes to their local church and its needs. God gives abundantly and expects the same of us. Not equal gifts. No, because everybody doesn't have the same. Not equal gifts, but equal sacrifice. He called his disciples to himself and said, you pay attention when Jesus does this. When scripture says that Jesus either calls his disciples or what Jesus said, it means he's about to give an important teaching for them and for all future disciples, us as Christians today. The point is not that everything should be given away. That's not the point here. What is the point? Well, total sacrifice. Attitude is more than action. The widow's attitude was complete trust in Jesus. A commitment to total sacrifice produced two attitudes. Total sacrifice produces selflessness, her whole livelihood. She put it all in, not just a surplus. She put in more than all the rest. Why? Because of her selfless attitude. We need to deny ourselves so others benefit. A.T. Robinson says of this passage, it is a tragedy to see a stingy saint pose as giving the widow's mite when he could give thousands instead of pennies. So total sacrifice produces selflessness, and also total sacrifice produces dependence. Out of her poverty, put in all that she had. What a lesson to those unwilling to tithe. She gave to the point of needing to depend on God's provision. If you don't think you can, you will never be able to afford to tithe until you tithe. Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 and 34. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. God wants every Christian to depend on him totally. Totally. Does your offering reflect the dependence of God? It's not the size, but the sacrifice involved. The tithe is 10% of your increase, of all your increase, to your local church. The offering is beyond the tithe for extra needs. And sacrificial giving is out of needs, also for extra needs. When the needs of the local church where you are a member are not being met, the first place to look is your own pattern of giving. The widow's mite points to the cross and Jesus' sacrificial gift of himself to meet our need. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9 makes it clear, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that through that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. You have a great day.